Good evening. I'd like to just share some things with you that God has been teaching me recently. It's going to be a little different tonight. Not necessarily a message, but just some things that God has been teaching me. Sort of what I'm going to give you tonight is just some points and a lot of verses. So get ready to flip and open your Bible to different verses. But tonight I'd like to talk about the area in our lives of sin, and are we clean before the Lord? My message tonight is entitled "Prisoner or Free." Many of us in the Christian life, we live as though we're in a prison with bars all around us, and we're looking through those bars trying to figure out a way to get out, but there is a door behind us that is fully unlocked, fully ready for us just to walk right through. And we're sometimes in our Christian lives, we're struggling and battling in sin in different areas in our life when God has just given us the way of escape right there. And sometimes it seems so difficult to do right, to live the Christian life, when God says, "I've made a way of escape for you. Take it." So tonight I have a list of, I believe, 20 points. 20 points, okay? We're going to go short on each. 20 points and a verse for each. So I'm just going to go through them, and maybe I'll get you involved as well a little bit here. So first point here, I'd like us to see we're going to be going through some things that we need to understand about the Christian life, and then we're going to need to go through some things of things that we need to do. And obviously the things that we need to understand will lead to things that we need to do as well. But first here tonight, I'd like to see that we are weak. We are weak. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of different passages here I'm going to give you, so we'll do as best as we can. Mark chapter 14, let's look at verse 38. Mark 14, 38. It says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Okay, so this verse here says, the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. How does that help us in our Christian life? How is that? What is that? What does that tell us? Yep. We're needy. We're weak. We can't do it on ourselves. We're weak. We're going to, if we go one way or the other, we're probably going to fall into temptation. We are weak. So like I said, I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. So first of all, we are weak. Second of all, I'd like to see we cannot do it alone. Fairly close to the first one. But we cannot do it alone. Let's go to John 15. John chapter 15. Here, and of course, this is a fairly familiar passage talking about the true vine, as Christ is the true vine here. But let's read John chapter 15, verse 4 through 5. And it says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Here we see, we can't do right alone. We may try as hard as we can, but in our own strength, we will fail. We cannot do right alone. Every single time we try to do right in our own strength, we will fall into temptation. So if we can't do it alone, we obviously need some help. And the next thing I'd like to see is we need God's help. We need God's help. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Very familiar verse as well. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God is our strength. And when we oftentimes try doing it ourselves, we oftentimes say, look it, I think I'm good enough. I can do it. I've done good before. Why can't I do it now? But we fail to remember these verses that we can't do it alone, but that we need God's help. Everything that we have is from God. And when we often fail to remember that, and when we do it on our own, we fail. So we need God's help. And we'll soon see a lot of different tools that God has given us, how he has helped us. Obviously, this message here, this challenge here tonight, there's could be probably hundreds of more things that I could say. There's all kinds of verses in God's Word that tells us things that we need to know and tools that he has given us to be able to fight temptation, but these are just some that God has given me tonight. So we need God's help. Next, I'd like to see that we will be like the people we hang around. Let's go to Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalms 1. It can be very easy as we go throughout life. You know, God has put us into the world. He has not taken us out of the world. He has kept us in the world, which means that we will come in contact with the world probably daily. And it's you can't stay from it, but God says that we need to stay apart from it, not to be like it. Here we see in Psalms 1, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." One way that we can easily fall is by who we hang around with. You know, we can hang around with some people that seem okay, but there's some things that that are not right, that we shouldn't be like. And the more we hang around them, we start to realize that we're doing the exact same things they're doing. Like, where did that come from? Well, it's probably the person that you know, maybe even like. And here we see in Psalms 1:1, the people that this man says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." So this is talking about the man that, you know, he interacts with them here and there, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But we see a progression here. It says, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." Now he's not only interacting with them here and there, but now he is a part of them. You know, this man was just seemed like a good man, a godly man here, but he started being with the wrong people, and he started being one of them. And lastly, we see, "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now he is, you know, doing everything that they do. Now he is maybe even encouraging them to do things that maybe they wouldn't do before. We don't know exactly, but here we see that we need to be careful who we spend our time with. You know, that can be something where we struggle, where we say, man, maybe I need to be more careful with being so close to some people that I know. Obviously, God has, like I said, kept us in the world, and we need to be good testimonies. We need to be willing to even try to share the gospel with people around us, so it's not like we're supposed to cut ourselves off from them. But here God says that we need to be careful who we are around. Another thing I'd like to see in the Christian life is we are not the only ones that struggle in different areas of sin. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, let me get to the next page. Verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So next we see that we're not in this alone. You know, sometimes it's easy in our day-to-day to struggle, and we often start wondering, I feel like I'm the only person struggling. I feel like, you know, I know I'm doing wrong. Maybe it's with our thoughts, or maybe we fear or worry. Whatever it is, we can say, man, why am I struggling with this? But here God says that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You know, each and every one of us may struggle with something a little bit different, but every one of us probably struggle with about the same things as the person that you're sitting next to. You know, it could be a little different, but I'm not the only one struggling here tonight. You're not the only one here struggling with giving into temptations. God says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Next thing I'd like to see is we are the devil's target. We are the devil's target. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. This will help you with knowing where your books are in the Bible, okay? 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to trick us. He wants to make things in our lives that God does not want us to be involved in. He wants to make it look good. He wants us to make the temptations to deceive us. He wants everything he can do to trip us up. You know, we can so easily be deceived by the temptations of this world. And it's because the devil is there. And we can't, you know, we can't blame the devil for our sin. But he definitely is out there to try to get us to be deceived. You know, the truth is that all that stuff in the world is going to destroy us. All that stuff in the world is not good for us. That's why God says, gives us a lot of verses against those things. He gives reasons why they're not good. But the devil says, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be good. It's okay if you think that way. It's okay if you look at that. It's okay if, you know, you say this to someone, you know, it doesn't matter if you hurt them. The devil is there to try to trip us up, and we need to be aware of that. Next, I'd like to see that there is a way of escape. We already went to this verse, but 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Isn't that a blessing? You know, God never gives us anything that we can't handle. And he also gives us a way of escape. You know, if God didn't give us a way of escape, that would mean we would have to do wrong. God here says, you know, it might seem tough. You know, we might get into situations where we say, you know, I feel like I have to do this. I feel like, maybe you're going through a trial and you're not trusting God, and you say, like, how can I not trust God through this trial? But God says, I've given you a way of escape. And sometimes it may seem like there is no way of escape, but it says God is faithful. He has made a way of escape. So that's for sure an encouragement to us as we're going through our Christian life, that we are not trapped. We're not robots here on this earth that have to do wrong. God didn't make us even to do right. He wants us to be able to love him so that we can show our love toward him by doing right. So there is a way of escape in our temptation. So now I'd like to look at some different things of that we need to do to be able to stay away from temptation, stay away from sin. First of all, we have to get rid of sin in our own lives that we know. You know, if we ask God, keep me from sin, but we know that there's still sin in our lives, well, how is God going to keep us from sin if we already have sin in our lives that we're not taking care of? Let's go to Psalms 139. Psalm 139. And we're going to be looking at verse 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Here David's asking God, show me what's in my life where I am not pleasing you. He says, you know, there's things in my life probably that are not right. And here, David is asking God, will you show me the things in which I need to get right? You know, when there's sin in our own lives, sin will lose our own effectiveness for God. You know, we can see God do things, but we were talking about this in our DBS class this morning. We might be able to see God do some things, but you know, if we don't fully become clean with God, if we don't fully get out everything, we'll never see the potential that God has for us. You know, God has big things for each and every one of us. And if we, you know, keep those things that we say, you know, aren't a big deal, if we push some sins or some things in our lives that we say, you know, that's not that bad, I'm still seeing God work, we will not be able to see God use us to our full potential. But we see here that when we ask God to show us, He will show us. And we know that 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, it's just amazing that God, you know, knows who we are, and He still says, you know, I will forgive you. You know, we know in Lamentations it says, His mercies are new every morning. God will always forgive us no matter what we have done, no matter what we will do. You know, the Bible also says that we're not supposed to take God's grace and, you know, use that to be able to do whatever we want to. You know, God says, that's not right. But here, God says that I have the ability to be able to cleanse you from all sin. You know, no matter what we do, God will forgive us when we go to Him and ask for forgiveness. Another thing I'd like to see is we have to admit our sin when we are confronted. Now, this is sort of the same thing, a little differently, but someone comes to us and maybe says something to us, maybe shows us and says, you know, here, there's something in your life that I don't feel like is right, and, you know, we need to be careful of how we go to people. But, you know, if someone came up to me and confronted me about something that I was not right in, how do we respond to that? Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're not going to, this is a story. 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is in the middle of the story of David committing adultery with Bathsheba here. And that's in chapter 11. In chapter 12 here, Nathan the prophet comes to King David and gives him a story here to bring out David's own sin and wickedness. But what do we see in verse 13? 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. In the beginning of the verse it says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. Do we have a teachable spirit when people confront us? Now, sometimes, or all the time, I should say, it's hard to take confrontation. You know, we don't like other people confronting us, but if we want to be right with God, and if we want to please Him, then why do we sometimes struggle so badly with being confronted? You know, I don't have any verses for this, but it just popped into my mind. In Proverbs, it talks a lot about the wise son or the wise man, and it describes a man that is teachable. You know, this man, when you confront him, when you try to teach him, he is willing and he wants to hear from you because he knows the more that he knows, the more he can change and be closer to God. You know, if I get bothered at being confronted, well, there's something a little wrong there because I should want, as best as I know how, to be as close to God. I should want to be able to know my own faults. I should want people to be able to tell me, you know, what I need to change so that I can be closer to God, so that I can be right with Him. How do we take confrontation? You know, it's often easy to deny our faults or even to blame other people when we're confronted. Another thing in the Christian life is that we need to resist the devil. We need to resist the devil. Let's go to James 4, 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. And it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I would say that's a very encouraging verse to me. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, we just went over how the devil tries to trick us and to make things look good. But we see here, if we resist the devil, if we say no to the temptation, it says that he will flee from you. The devil will flee from us. And that's encouraging to me to know that when I take God's strength, if I take God's power to resist the devil, then the devil will want to flee from me. He knows, he wants to get the people that will give in. And so that's just a blessing to me to know that God will, or that the devil will flee from us as we resist it. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, "Neither give place to the devil." You know, we can't let give the devil any foothold in our life. If we get rid of everything in our life, but we say, you know, I like this little thing here. I like doing whatever. That's a foothold that we have still let Satan in our lives. And what happens when we have let Satan have a foothold in our lives is he starts gaining ground. You know, and he starts, you know, very cleverly deceiving us, and soon before we know it, there's a lot of other things in our life that we're not right, that we're, maybe we have a wrong view, or maybe whatever the case is, you know, he starts tricking us, and it was all because, you know, we didn't fully resist the devil. We need to resist the devil, and once we do that, it says, the devil will flee from us. The next thing we need to see is we need to put on the armor of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Of course, this is the first thing I probably thought of when I thought of the different tools that God has given us in our Christian walk. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to just read this very quickly. We're going to start in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, we don't need to go through everything here in these verses, but can someone tell me one thing here that God has given us and how it helps us in our Christian walk?
Sword of the Spirit.
Sword of the Spirit. How does that help us in our Christian walk? Yes, so we have the sword of the Spirit here, and I'm going to get to that passage in just a little bit. So, that's good, the sword of the Spirit. One more. Anybody? Logan?
You pray to God that you have access to the throne of grace. It's talking about how we have the gospel of peace. We have to be at peace with God.
Yep, so peace with God, and even in verse 18, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So there's definitely a relationship there with the Spirit that we need to have to be able to do right. So good. So we need to put on the armor of God. I would like to spend more time there, but 20 points, you got to keep going. Next, I'd like to see we need to be in the Word of God. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And let's go to verse 11. Verse 9. We have to be in the Word of God. In verse 9 it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Here it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Here's he's saying, how shall he be right with God? How shall he do right? And says, by taking heed thereto according to his word. We have to be in God's word. Let's go to two verses later, verse 11. We also have to memorize God's word. Verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Here it says, if you hide God's word in your heart, that it will help you. Well, it says, "that I might not sin against thee," that through temptation that you will be able to, as Ephesians says, quench the fiery darts of the wicked. We have to memorize. Now for me, it's a little harder to memorize than some. It's very hard for me to memorize. But here God says, if you memorize it, you won't sin against me. Now obviously we know we'll still sin, but it's saying that if you use God's word, if you take, let's say I'm struggling with anger. If I go into the Word of God and I look up some verses on anger in the Bible and how I can give victory over that, that's going to help me. You know, maybe I might write them down on a card and put them around. You know, we have to memorize Scripture. You know, I'm not going to have my Bible right in front of me all day. But if you memorize it, it's going to be in your mind all the time. And you know, maybe temptation comes and a verse might come into your mind. And that can definitely help us as we go through life. We also need to quote Scripture. And we're not going to go to this passage, but in Matthew 4, this is what Mr. Miller was talking about. Here, where Jesus was tempted by the devil. And what do we see here that Jesus does? He quotes Scripture. You know, the devil tries to tempt him, I believe it is, three times. And every single time, Jesus gives him a verse. And you know, we can take directly from the Word of God, we can quote Scripture as we try to, as we do right. You know, as we're quoting the Scripture, we can say, look at, you know, I'm not gonna fall into that temptation. I've got the Word of God, and I've got the power of the Spirit to be able to help me get out of it. So we need to read the Scripture. We need to memorize Scripture. We need to quote Scripture. Next thing I'd like to see is we have to have zero tolerance. Now, this is something that we oftentimes talk about in our men's prayer time on Sunday. And what is zero tolerance? You know, if I'm tolerant to Brussels sprouts, then I don't want to taste them. I don't want to look at them. I don't want to smell them. You know, I'm not even going to go past them in the grocery store. You know, tolerance is, you know, there's a tolerance to something. You know, if you like them, okay, you know, you have a certain tolerance to them. But zero tolerance is there's none at all. It's letting nothing in that, you know, there's no a little tolerance to it. No, this is zero tolerance. And what does this have to do in our Christian life? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. You know, that's what zero tolerance is keeping thy heart with all diligence. You know, in our life, we can, I've said this several times now, we can easily maybe put things into categories as, you know, just little things. And is that zero tolerance? No, it's not, because we're letting some sin and temptation into our lives and we're being tolerable to those. But here God says, you're supposed to keep thy heart with all diligence. Everything you can through God's strength to be able to keep what is wrong out and to keep what is right in, which is the Scripture and the strength of the Holy Spirit. So we need to have zero tolerance towards sin. You know, nothing is okay. You know, if God speaks against it, then it's wrong. And we shouldn't let anything like that get into our lives. Next, I'd like to see that we have to love the Lord. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Here we see that our love for the Lord should not just be, if you want to say, a lazy love. It's nothing here that it's just, you know, it's one way or the other. But here we see that says, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Here it's being shown that everything, with everything that we have, we need to love the Lord. And you know, sometimes in our life, we can be struggling and we can say, but I don't feel like I love the Lord right now. But you know, love is not a choice, it's an action. Love is not a feeling, it's a choice. And you know, sometimes maybe we don't feel like we love God, but here God says, obey me. You know, if you obey me, that's showing me that you love me. And you know, sometimes we don't feel like it, but if we love him, then we will want to please him. And so just keep that as a thought as we go to the next one. Another thing that God has given us to be able to do in our Christian life is we have to be accountable with someone. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. See if I can find Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Where am I? Yeah. Ecclesiastes 4, let's start in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, God here is showing us that when we try to do right by ourselves, we will often fail. But God here says, you know, be accountable with someone. You know, if you're accountable with someone, then at any time they can come to you and maybe ask you how you're doing, or, you know, did you struggle this week? And that can be helpful because it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for the labor, for if one fall, the one will lift up his fellow. You know, we can go throughout life, and many of us, it's easy just to be quiet and not share the things that we struggle with to one another. But here God says, two are better than one. And if we would be willing to be more open with people sometimes, that it would help us a lot in our walk with God. It would we'd be able to see sometimes victory that we haven't seen in a long time if we would just be willing and open and honest to share our struggles with others. Next, I'd like to see we have to flee temptation. We're not going to go there to this story either, but in Genesis 39, it talks about, this is the story of Joseph, and Joseph is now in Egypt, and here he's in Potiphar's house. We know that whole story there. But I'm going to read Genesis 39, verse 11 through 12. And it says, "And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." You know, sometimes in life we might be tempted with something, and it's easy to just maybe think about it for a second. It's easy to, You know, here it says that he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Here, he was not willing to play with temptation. He wasn't willing to say, you know, I'm strong enough. I'm okay to, you know, stay here. You know, I'm going to do right. You know, he said, you know, this, God was, you know, like we said before, God has given us a way of escape. He was taking the way of escape by fleeing. And, you know, I think sometimes in our life we can be tempted with whatever, and too often times we think about it for a second. We stay there for a second. We don't get away right away, you know. And when, you know, the longer we think about it, the more likely it is that we're going to fall into that temptation, because, you know, you're giving the devil time to start deceiving us. You know, when we see temptation, you know, there's nothing wrong with temptation, because they will come, and, you know, we even see that that Jesus was tempted. But when we are tempted, we should already, you know, purpose beforehand, you know, that we're not going to do it. You know, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, you know, it says, "And Daniel purposed in his heart to not defile himself." And here we see, you know, I'm not certain, but it seems like he purposed in his heart beforehand. You know, I don't know if, you know, they weren't, you know, already eating of the king's food at his table. So it seems like to me, you know, here it's saying Daniel purposed in his heart beforehand, before he was in the immediate situation, he says, "No, I'm going to do what's right here." And so we have to flee temptation, you know. We have to get out of there. You know, it may sound a little funny, but, you know, if we're being tempted, you know, run out of the room. I don't know. You know, get your thoughts on something else. You know, talk to someone, maybe call someone. I don't know what the case is, but flee temptation. Next, I want to see, we need to replace bad with good. You know, if we don't replace the bad things in our life with good things, then it's going to easily be filled up with bad things. You know, in 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Here he's saying, you know, flee youthful lusts, but not only flee temptation, but do what's right. You know, if we just flee the temptation and try to not do what's wrong, and we never do what's right, well, we're going to eventually go back to doing wrong because there's nothing to fill its place. So we need to replace evil with good. And last here this evening, I'd like to see that God blesses us when we don't give in to temptation and when we do right. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 in verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You know, here's God saying, I'm going to bless the man that endures temptation or that doesn't give in to temptation. It says, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. When he is tempted, when he doesn't give in to that, he will be blessed. We could go back to Psalms 1. We're not going to. But in Psalms 1, it talks about the man that delighteth in God's way and says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Here he's sort of likening the godly man to a tree here by the river that is flourishing. And God's saying, you know, this man is doing what's right. This man is not giving in to temptation. This man is following what I have him to do and saying that, "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." God blesses us as we do right. God blesses us as we flee from temptation and do what he has called us to do. And I just hope that it was a lot of points and a lot of verses. But, you know, I think it was all things that I knew beforehand. But there's a lot of things in our life that God has given us to be able to flee the temptation, to be able to understand, even things that we ought to understand. Because, you know, after going through that, it's like, wow, you know, why am I so discouraged sometimes? You know, why do I so often fail at certain things? Why am I not getting victory? You know, God has given us every single thing we need to be able to do what's right and to get over victory. And so I just hope that these different points, these different verses will encourage you. You know, I don't know what you're going through, but I know that we all, you know, struggle through things. We all have different temptations that we're going through. And God here says, you know, "I have given you a way of escape. I have given you the power to do what's right. And you don't have to do wrong." So just hope that's been a good challenge to you. You know, whether you're whether you're going through a time right now or maybe you're struggling with something, you know, it can be helpful to you as you look at God's word, keep a good relationship with him, read God's word, you know, memorize God's word. And so just hopefully that's been a blessing to you this evening. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just want to thank you for the scripture that you have given us. We know that I could have given a lot more, but just thank you for the whole Bible that you've given us to be able to show us how to live our Christian life, to show us how we can flee temptation. And I just want to thank you for giving all these tools to us. Thank you that we don't have to give in, that we don't have to do what's wrong. So I just thank you. Just pray that you would use this in the lives of each and every one of us, that we would take the way of escape as we go throughout our life. In Jesus' name, amen.